Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 349, the first two verses. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground, within thy gates, thou city, grand and fair. 1 and 2 of 349. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the prophet Isaiah, there of the 40th chapter, the first 18 verses. But first let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Isaiah 40, the first 18 verses. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed about the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or been his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing upon his word tonight. Let us pray together. Almighty, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, creator and upholder of all things, Lord, thou hast made us in thy image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And Adam in paradise could live with that comfort, with that sweet communion, Lord, with thee every moment of his life. And Lord, we have sinned against thee. We have turned our back to thee. We have left thee never to return, and we try and seek to find comfort in this world, in self, and in everything but thee. But Lord, again, in thy goodness and thy mercy, through thy word, we have heard what thou hast given unto thy dear child, the prophet Isaiah, to proclaim, comfort ye, my people, that our sins are forgiven, that our iniquities are covered. O Lord, thou knowest tonight here in this place, in thy house, whether there are those poor and needy sinners who cannot live in the world anymore. There's no comfort in all the things of here below, but they are seeking that comfort, and they long to be able to know that comfort, to be able to say in their heart before thee, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But Lord, thou knowest how they cannot say it of themselves. They cannot live in the world, but they feel in themselves they don't belong to that blessed people. O Lord, we beg thee that those poor and needy sinners tonight may be drawn unto thee. And when we may consider that only comfort in life and in death that is in thee, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that thou would apply this comfort to the hearts of poor and needy sinners, that thou would work mightily, irresistibly with thy Holy Spirit, and that those poor mourners, those poor in spirit, those meek ones who cry and sigh, who are beggars at thy throne of grace, who are waiting upon thee, may be given that comfort that they cannot find in self, but that is in thee. O Lord, wilt thou then apply thy word irresistibly and by the power of the Holy Spirit? But remember also those who are still seeking comfort in everything but in thee. O may they also hear it tonight that they need a comfort in this life. They need a comfort in death, a comfort that is an eternal comfort. And if they die without that comfort, then they are forever lost, forever under thy wrath. And then, when the world is destroyed, they will lose everything in death, or when thou returns, it will all be destroyed, taken away, and they will forever be lost, forever without God, no peace, no comfort, but forever gnashing their teeth in that place of wrath. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, we're so foolish, so wicked, our hearts are so hard, our minds are so darkened and polluted with sin, and by nature we are under the power of sin and Satan, and we're so comfortably lost. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, awaken then by thy might, by thy word, by thy spirit, for thy glory and for our eternal welfare. We ask, Lord, care for thy people, those who have tasted of the comfort in the past. May they again experience in their heart and in their soul of that only comfort, that I do not belong to myself, but that I belong unto that faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has purchased me, who has bought me, who has paid for my sin. Lord, what wonders of thy grace. And we may study them, we may read them, we may hear them, but oh, may we taste them in our souls, that there may be sweetness, that there may be joy, that there may be peace, and that it may end in the glory of thy most holy and worthy name, Lord. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, take reasons out of thyself, gather with us, and give us a good hour tonight in thy house, that we may go home to say it was good to be here, because the Lord was with us. The Lord has blessed my soul with that only comfort that I cannot give myself, that I cannot find in anything, even in all my experiences, but that I can only find in Thee. Lord, we beg Thee then, come with Thy Holy Spirit. Take away the blindness. Take away those hearts of stone, but also lead and draw to Thyself, to Thee who is that overflowing fountain of all goodness and mercy and grace through Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we lay before Thee, before Thy throne of mercy and grace, the entire congregation, the children, the teenagers, the adults, those who are getting older, and the aged ones also among us, and all who are listening alone. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, give those blessings that only come from Thee and from Thee alone. Lord, may we then together lift up our voices unto Thee, that we may open our mouth wide unto Thee. May it be with expectation, because of how great Thou art, how good Thou art, for unworthy sinners, and wilt Thou fill us. Lord, Thou hast said, open Thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Lord, we ask Thee then to remember us, not only as an entire congregation, but each one individually. We all have a soul, a never-dying soul, and we personally need Thy grace. We personally need to be born again. We personally need to know that own comfort that Thou alone can give us. Lord, we ask that Thou would also remember us then as families. Give, Lord, in our homes that Thy word may be opened, that it may be read, that it may be meditated upon. Give also especially unto us as fathers to be the priest in the home, to teach, to lead, to guide, to be the king, to be that prophet, Lord. Give grace, give faithfulness, and we pray that Thy word may be blessed. Help us, Lord, in our marriages, give love and faithfulness one to another, and that we may care for each other, not only for this life, but for the life to come. We pray for all the children, all the little boys and girls, help them also to listen tonight. And may there be born in their hearts a holy jealousy, a longing to know Thee, to know that only comfort. Remember the teenagers, Lord, all the allurements of this world. Show them it's all sin and it all ends in death. Capture their hearts, Lord, by Thy grace, and that they may hunger and thirst for Thee, longing to serve Thee, and that they cannot serve the world anymore. Remember the whole congregation, Lord. We all need the same thing. We need a new heart. We need Thy grace. We need Thy Spirit. We need that only Savior to die and to pay for our own personal sins. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, then wilt Thou remember each one of us. Remember those who are suffering for sicknesses in the body or in the mind. Bless the means that they may use. Remember also the persecuted church, Lord. We are so accustomed to coming to Thy house without fear. May we see the blessing that the doors may be opened again for the second time today on Thy day, and that we may come to gather to worship Thee without fear for our lives. But remember those who are persecuted for the name of that precious Savior. Uphold them, strengthen them. Remember Thy beloved people, the Israelites, the Jews. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, wilt Thou show them and teach them that the Messiah has come. Bless Thy word richly among them also. We ask that Thou would remember them also when the school may begin. Help us, Lord, and bless the education of our children, whether they go to school or whether they at home. Lord, help and bless that they may be prepared for this life, but especially, Lord, we beg Thee. They have come into this world, and they must leave this world. Blessed and especially the instruction they may hear at school or at home from thy precious word. And may there be many Timothys, little boys, girls, teenagers that have a new heart, that long to serve thee and seeking that only comfort in life and in death. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us. Remember us also as a nation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give us leaders who have the fear of the Lord in their hearts, and that they must begin each day on their knees with thy word to know thy will, to know the way they must lead this nation. Care for all those who also have dangerous occupations. We think of those in the police force or firefighters, but also nurses and doctors. Help them, care for them, protect them. And Lord, we beg thee that thou would give in this nation, in our country, respect for life from the moment of conception until natural death. Oh Lord, there's so much blood also in our nation that cries unto thee. Have mercy upon us. Help those who speak out against these sins. Strengthen them, give them wisdom, and bless it, Lord, that we may also, as a nation, be brought to repentance, to confess our sin, and that there may be laws that protect life from the moment of conception until natural death. And so, Lord, we ask thee, gather with us, give all that is needed to listen to thy word and bless it, but give also what is needed to preach. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg thee, for thy great name's sake, for the conversion of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people, we ask, in the forgiveness of our many sins, Lord, thou could rightly pass us by, because we sin everything away, but may we plead upon him, upon that advocate, upon that high priest that sits at thy right hand, because of him, because of his righteousness, and because of his precious blood, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 327, all four stanzas. Lord, thy word to me remember, thou hast made me hope in thee. This my comfort in affliction, that thy word hath quickened me. Psalter 327, all stanzas, and the collections for this evening is for the church and for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, we all have something in common. We all seek comfort. We seek comfort in our daily lives. For example, we want comfortable shoes to walk in. We want comfortable chairs to sit in. We want comfortable beds to sleep in. We want comfortable relationships. We want a comfortable place to work. Children, you want to be educated in a comfortable place. We want comfortable vacations, and we can list a multitude of other things that by nature we seek comfort in. But my friend, are you only seeking comfort for here below, for your body, for this life here? Are you only seeking comfort for this life? Or are you seeking more? Is it in your life that you can't find comfort in all the blessings and everything in this life? Have you experienced that your life is not here in this world anymore? Are you seeking a true comfort? Not even the best relationships, and they are a blessing. They are gifts from God to have a caring husband, a wife, a father, a mother, or friends. Not even the best relationship are lasting. They can't give us that only comfort, because one day, children, teenagers, young adults, older ones, you and I must die. There is a day you were born, but there's coming a day that you and I must die. And then everything that we have, even our relationships, cannot help us at that moment. Therefore, are you seeking a true comfort, an only comfort? Are you seeking a comfort for your soul? For your soul, for your never-dying soul? Are you seeking that only true comfort in this life, in death, and that is eternal? An eternal comfort. Maybe you're asking and wondering, is there such a comfort? Children, are you asking, are you thinking, is there such a comfort that we can taste in this life, that's a comfort in death, and that has no end? It's a comfort to eternity. Yes, there is. And maybe then there's bored in your heart, in your mind. Where can I find that comfort? What is that only comfort? There is a comfort for lost, hell-worthy sinners, and it is only found in whom? In a triune God. In God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We heard it tonight when the elder read from Isaiah 40. Let's read those first two verses again. It speaks of a comfort. Isaiah 40:1-2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And so the word of God, what we read here, but through the word of God, we may hear of an only comfort that is in life, in death, and that is eternal. And the Heidelberg Catechism has summarized that. And so tonight, when we begin considering the Heidelberg Catechism, tonight we will only meditate on the first Lord's Day, on the question number 1 and number 2. You can find it at the back of your Psalter on page 27. Lord's Day 1, question and answer number 1. What is thy only comfort in life and death? That I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil. and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. And so the theme tonight is the only true comfort in life and in death. Congregation, there is a true comfort in the triune God. God is the fountain of all comfort in this life, in death, and forever. And this true comfort consists in three things. Three things that we read in this answer. Belonging, the first one, belonging to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's our first thought. Belonging to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two, being kept by God the Father. And third, being assured by the Holy Spirit. So the only true comfort in life and death, belonging to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, being kept by God the Father, and being assured by God the Holy Spirit. And so with the Lord's help, our first thought tonight, that only true comfort in life and in death consists in belonging to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Congregation, the Word of God speaks of an only comfort, of a true comfort for this life, for death, and forever. A comfort that will never, ever be taken away. We lose many comforts on this earth, but this comfort, when you receive it, it will never be taken away. The feeling may be lacking, but not the reality. You and I had a day we were born, and there's a day coming that you and I must die. We read in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. What do we not read in this verse? We don't read a time to live. Why do we not read a time to live? Because our lives are so short. They're just a shadow, just a handbreadth. And our lives compared to eternity are only a little speck. It's only a little time, but it's also to teach us. There's a time to be born, and there is a time to die. And this time in this life is a time to be prepared to meet God. There's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. At the moment of your death, you will stand before God, that almighty holy God of heaven and earth. And this life is a time to seek that only comfort in God. And now listen, the Lord is going to speak from a verse. Listen, it's his word. He's saying it to Israel, but he's saying it to us also. Hosea 13 verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. The word help doesn't only mean that it's help. It has a deeper meaning. It really literally says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy comfort. Is that not amazing? That the almighty Jehovah, that God against whom we have sinned and have no desire to return, he speaks of an only comfort, that in him is comfort. It's as if he's saying tonight, dear congregation in Cortland, people in Cortland sitting here tonight, oh people, you have sinned against me, but in me is your help, in me is your comfort. My friend, you need that only comfort for your life and for your death. The comfort which gives joy now, gives peace now, but also in death, passing through that shadow of death, and it's an eternal comfort. A comfort with which you can die to meet God in peace. Yes, in peace. To meet God in peace, the very God that we have offended to his very heart with all our sins. And this comfort, when you receive it by God's grace, you may lose the sense and the feeling of it, but the reality of it you will never, ever lose. When God begins in the life of a sinner, he will never let that sinner go. And Paul speaks to encourage the Christians in Rome, as we read in Romans 14, verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. What a comfort to know this. To know this for your own soul, that you are the Lord's. This is only by belonging to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in no one else and in nothing else. But notice how the Heidelberg Catechism begins in the instruction. It doesn't begin about your misery. Yes, that will come, but it doesn't begin with that. It begins with a question. What is the only comfort, thy only comfort, in life, in death? Now, don't take this wrong. That doesn't begin when you enter into the school of grace by being born again and by the work of the Holy Spirit. Right away, you have comfort. This first question is an introduction to the whole book. The Heidelberg Catechism is called the Book of Comfort. As we go through these Lord's Day, the Lord is speaking. He wants to instruct us of the only comfort in life and in death. This book, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Book of Comfort, has been used through the ages to teach poor and needy sinners of the only comfort of sinners who grieve and are afflicted and have sorrow. What can give a mourning sinner joy in this life, in death, and eternally? What can comfort your soul, poor and needy sinner? You who can find no comfort in anything, in self, and all your experiences in this world, what? Only one true comfort. What is this comfort? That you may live with joy and peace now? That you may come to that time of death, and that you can meet God in peace. What is the only way to have true comfort in this life? The Bible tells us the answers to these questions, and therefore we read in the Heidelberg Catechism the summary. Let's read the first part again. That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, I'm not my own. I'm not my own. But, so you're not your own, but what? But belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, young people, this is not a comfort you will find in any friend or in the multitude of friends. You will not find it in your husband. You will not find it in your wife. You will not find it in a pastor. You won't find it in a priest. You won't find it in a girlfriend, in a boyfriend, and in any relationship. You won't find it in your teacher, and you will not find it in anything, even though you may possess many things on this earth. This comfort is only found in Jesus Christ. You can only find this comfort in belonging to that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. In God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that Trinity works in unity. In his grace, he works in the hearts of sinners in unity, and he also works in unity and in love. Those who belong to Jesus Christ also belong to God the Father. Paul wrote this also to encourage and to instruct the Christians in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 2 or 3, verse 23. And ye are Christ's. And now listen. And Christ is God's. He's speaking to those Christians. And ye are Christ's. And Christ Christ is God. The only comfort in this life and death and eternal is not found in being religious. We can be very religious. We can be very pious. The Pharisees were very pious, very religious. This only true comfort is only found in being in a reconciled relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It is only received by grace. It's only through the forgiveness of sins. How is this possible? That an almighty, holy, infinite, holy God can forgive sins, and that there's comfort for sinners who sinned against him. It's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard it this morning, but I will repeat it. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that is why we read in the answer, what is the only comfort in life and in death? That I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins. What an answer. What an answer. What is the only comfort? To know that you do not belong to yourself. And that's the last thing we want. We want to be king. We want to belong to ourselves. But when God comes with his Holy Spirit, he teaches and he renews, and we die to self. And then there's a longing in the heart. Oh, that I may belong to him, that I may belong to that faithful, almighty God. I feel a separation. Oh, that I may have his favor, that I have a communion with him, and then to be led and to be taught of that only Savior, and then to know that you belong to that faithful Savior, but even to be able to say, my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What an answer. May I ask you, can you say this? Can you say this? How? How does a sinner come to belong to Jesus Christ? How does it come to be that he owns them, that he is the one that is that faithful Savior for a sinner? When did this begin? When? What would your answer be? It began in eternity, in that council of peace, when God the Father, out of his own free and sovereign good pleasure, he chose, yes, he chose individuals to be the objects of his love, to those who only deserve wrath. And there was nothing in them, absolutely no reason. It all flowed out of his heart. It began in eternity. It began in God. It began in his eternal good pleasure. And he gave them, all those he chose, he gave them to his Son, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep. And Jesus Christ, as the head of the covenant of grace, he said, I will go. I will live that perfect life for those sinful ones. I will pay for them. I will go. I will be that surety. I will be that redeemer. I will give my life. I will give my blood. I will give everything. Everything. And he came and he has satisfied the justice of God. So it began in eternity in God. But in time, those sinners, they're sought by God, and they're sought and they're saved, they're regenerated, they're born as enemies, children of wrath, and no better than any other person on this whole earth. But he seeks them, he saves them, and by his irresistible power, he regenerates them. How does a sinner become the property of Jesus Christ? How do they come to belong to Jesus Christ? In eternity, it began, in time, but it's also by faith. By faith. By true and saving faith. Faith, that precious gift that God gives in their hearts, plants it in them and works it and brings it to live by the word of God, that unites wretched sinners with a precious, rich Savior. And then they may taste in their own heart, in their own soul, something of that only comfort. My friend, you who God sought, you who God saved, you who God regenerated, taught you about what a wretch you are, you who truly have repented, you who truly have believed in Him, maybe that faith is so poor, so weak, and it trembles so much, but it's genuine and real. You are, from the side of God, in eternity already the property of Jesus Christ. You belong to Him, but in time when you are born again, you are already belonging to Jesus Christ, and by faith, it can be experienced. You who truly sorrow over their sin, who've been made alive, repented, and believe in Jesus Christ, I may tell you, you belong to that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He's that good shepherd, and He will hold on to His sheep. He will never let any one of them go. He seeks them, finds them, and He will bring them to that glory. But tonight, maybe you say, oh, if I could only feel that, know that in my heart, in my soul, that I may say that He's my Savior. All those personal pronouns are so precious. But He already wants you to hear it. He wants to tell you tonight that there is a comfort. He wants you to hear it so that you may know it, so that you may believe it, that you may feel it, and that you may already rejoice in it. That you would rejoice in Him and nothing in self. Let's read those two verses from Isaiah 40, 1 and 2 again. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. What? That her warfare is accomplished. Who accomplished it? Him, that faithful Savior. That her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Why? Why are all her sins paid for, covered, washed, blotted out? Why? Because of that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And you too who miss discomfort, do you miss discomfort? Did you come tonight knowing that this is the first Lord's Day? Did you come with a heart, with a question, with a longing? Lord, may I hear from my own soul that only comforts? Or did you come, it's Sunday night, church starts at 6, I need to go a little early, and you came? Or is there a longing? Is there a hunger? Is there a thirst? Is it a desire? Do you live with that longing that you know that you belong to that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? Oh, poor sinner, wait on Him. Like Naomi told Ruth, wait on that great Boaz. He will fulfill it at His time. He will not rest. You may wait at His feet, looking up to Him, and at His time He will come by the power of the Holy Spirit and apply what you already have, children of God. What a confession to what is that only comfort, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto the faithful Savior, my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What a confession. Sinners who by God's grace and mercy receive His grace and are renewed and restored into relationship with God by the blood of Jesus Christ, they belong already in eternity, sought and found in time and by faith, united with that precious Savior. This is the only comfort. But oh, to know it. To know it by the Spirit testifying with your spirit. To know it, to feel it, and to confess it. We read in Hosea 2 verse 23. Thou art my people. God speaking to a people. Thou art my people. And they respond. And they shall say, Thou art our God. What a comfort. What a comfort. That's the only comfort. And the sheep belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ acknowledges them. He knows every one of his sheep by their name, as we read in John 10. But to know that you are one of his sheep and to belong to him, that's something. All liberty, to have true liberty and comfort, is being made spiritually alive, delivered from the power of sin, Satan, and the world. True liberty and comfort is I'm not my own anymore, but I belong to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And what happens in that heart then? Then they don't desire to live their own will anymore. No, then they long to live to his will. They surrender to him. And yes, again and again, that wickedness rebels when crosses come in their life. But then they're brought to repentance again. And they want to serve him, obey him, follow him, loving him, doing his will. Is that your heart? Is that you? Or are you not seeking this only comfort? Do you know nothing of this only true comfort? What is this comfort? It's dying to self and finding life in another. It's losing everything of self and finding everything in another. It's decreasing and decreasing until the day you die, that he would increase in your life. What is your only comfort? What is that only comfort? In life and death, it's that I do not belong to myself, but to Jesus Christ. This is life, children, teenagers. This is comfort. Are you longing for comfort, young people? Are you older ones? Are you trying to find comfort? This is the comfort that you belong unto that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And that good shepherd, he seeks and saves and renews sinners. He regenerates them. And by his grace, they are brought into relationship with him by faith. They repent of all their sins and he washes them. He washes them by his blood. And that good shepherd, he cares for his sheep. Also, as we read in this chapter, he leads them. He carries them in his bosom. Oh, to be a sheep of that good shepherd, that's life, that's everything. Can you confess what we read in Psalm 73, verse 26? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. By our fallen paradise, we've come under the bondage of sin and Satan and the world. And who? Who has the power to deliver themselves? None. And those who are recipients of grace begin to feel how weak and hopeless they are in self. They need power. They need an almighty Savior who has conquered everything for them. Open your Bible, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. No sinner has the power to deliver himself from the power of sin, Satan, and death, and even from the grave. But Jesus Christ, he who did many miracles, he also raised the dead to teach, to preach that he has the power. Let us read some verses from Hebrews 4, 14 through 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that's Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came to destroy the power of Satan, of death, and of the grave. And he delivers also his dear sheep also from the fear of death and of bondage. And he teaches them of that only comfort. That's why we read also at the end of the first part of this answer, and delivered me from all the power of the devil. That's the comfort also. Not only that they belong to him, but they belong to him because he sought them and delivered them, made them alive, and delivered them from the power of Satan. And he also delivers from the bondage of fear of death. He conquered also the grave. Oh, what a blessing to belong to that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. No, this does not mean that God's children become sinless. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that they do not commit sin anymore. The bondage has been broken. They're out from under the power of Satan, that he governs them, but now another governs them, guides them, leads them. That is the Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, this comfort is only in Jesus Christ and he who redeems his people from sin, from Satan. He redeems his dear sheep with what? With his blood. Peter knew this, and that's why he wrote in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spots." Oh, to be a sheep of the good shepherd. Is that your longing? Oh, that I may know I belong to him. Oh, that I may say he's my faithful Savior. He's my mediator. He's my redeemer. He's my prophet. He's my priest. He's my king. He's my redeemer. He's my advocate at the right hand of the Father. Because to be able to say not only that he is, that's precious, that he is the Savior, but to know him, that he's your Savior. Faith in Jesus Christ saves a sinner, but assurance that belonging to Jesus Christ, that's an extra sweetness. That fills the heart with joy. What did David say? Thy loving kindness. Of who? Of God. Of the faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Thy loving kindness is more than life to me. Is that your heart? Is that your confession? David could sing about it. He wrote about it in Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's sing about it. And may the Lord bless it to our souls. Psalter 53. All stanzas, and may we do that standing. Psalter 53. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. 53, all five stanzas. Thank you. the only true comfort, which is in life, in death. It's a triple comfort. It's in belonging to the faithful Savior Jesus Christ, but it's also being kept by God the Father. Children, you want your Father to care for you, right? It's a blessing to have a caring Father that helps, that provides, and that guides you and does his utmost to keep you. But dear children of God, you who belong to Jesus Christ, how well does God, your Father, care for you? Does he keep you and care for you in all things, even in things that we think are absolutely insignificant? For example, does he care for you in a way that he also knows how many hairs are on your and my heads? Yes, he does. We read in Matthew 10, verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Does God the Father take notice of the hairs that are on the head of his people? Does he care about our hair? Yes. We read in Luke 21, verse 18, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Why do they have these verses in the Heidelberg Catechism in this question? What is the only comfort? Why is it in the answer? This shows how God the Father infinitely cares and keeps his dear children. What is your only comfort? What are we reading in the answer? And so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Congregation, if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you also belong to God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. You are his sheep, children of God. And God the Father is that faithful Father, God the Father, who's almighty, all-knowing. Keeps you even to the smallest, what we consider is insufficient or unimportant, I should say. That he even notices the hair. Notice that we do not read that no hair shall fall, but no hair. Hair. Unimportant thing. No hair will fall without the will of your Father in heaven. What does this mean? What should that teach us tonight? What's the comfort in this? That nothing, absolutely nothing, the smallest detail to the very greatest detail, Church of God, sheep of the Good Shepherd, children of God, happens in your life by accident, luck, or chance. No, it's all guided by the providence of God. Every single little detail. What a comfort. What a comfort that should be. What a comfort there is in belonging to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, and to be kept by God the Father, that almighty, all-powerful God in heaven and on earth. Unconverted ones, hear what you're missing. Hear what you're missing. You don't belong to that faithful Father. You have another Father yet, under bondage. Of a father who's wicked, who's evil, who's sinful, the father, the devil. What wretchedness, but what glorious comfort to belong to that faithful Father and to be kept by him in everything. What does it mean for you? You who may know on good grounds that you belong to Jesus Christ. It means that everything you receive, every accident, every sickness, every trial, every cross, every sorrow of everything that you receive in this life comes from the fatherly hand. Unbelief complains and rebels, but faith surrenders to the keeping of God the Father. Faith, when it's an exercise, may receive it and may say, it comes from my Father. He makes no mistakes. He's infinitely wise. He knows what exactly is best for me, for my soul. He knows exactly what I need. In congregation, children, do you like to be disciplined by your father? Do you? I know you don't like it. I didn't either. But I remember my father saying, this is because I love you. You need it, son. And God the Father, he keeps his dear children and he disciplines them. He disciplines them. What do we read in Hebrews 12, verse 6? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I'd rather have the discipline of God the Father than not belong to. Is that not true? And we need grace every time again for everything we receive. All that the Lord may give us, humility to bow under his discipline and to see also, to be given eyes to see that it all comes from him. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Those who belong to Jesus Christ belong to God the Father, and everything in your life, children of God, is to teach you, to guide you. God is guiding you. He's keeping you, not according to your desire, to my desire, not to what we think is best for us. He's that infinitely wise Father, and he knows what's good, what we need, where we need to be corrected, and how to be corrected, how to be guided, how to be led, and to be kept. Kept by the power of God unto salvation, by that almighty Father. Paul wrote about it. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Children of God, everything you receive in your life is to teach you more of your sin, that you may live closer to that Savior. It's to teach you that this home, this earth, is not your home. But your future is coming. He's keeping you, guiding you, teaching you, leading you, so that also you're weaned from all earthly trusts, all trust in everything in self, that you may trust in him, in the triune God, in the faithful Savior, in the good almighty Father in heaven. And everything in your life, he keeps you for one purpose, to bring you to glory. What a comfort. What an absolute comfort in life and in death. We read in Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. But this does not mean that we understand everything. Do God's children understand everything that comes in their life, all their crosses, all their afflictions? No. But we must not go to our reason, which we so often do. Why this? Why that? But we must live by faith. By faith. What an impossible task to live by faith, looking to him, trusting in him, trusting in this fatherly hand. True comfort is belonging to Jesus Christ and to surrender everything into his hand, knowing that he knows what is best, knowing that he will keep me. Oh, Peter knew that. He knew that. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fell not. And he fell, but he rode in Peter, kept by the power of God. Peter learned a lesson. Peter learned a deep, profound comfort kept by God. And he will keep. He will keep you. He who began that good work in you, you are in the hands of an almighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10, verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. All. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Nothing, absolutely nothing, shall separate you, Church of God, from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And Paul gives a whole list. And he also includes death kept. But how? How do sinners that are only worthy of wrath ever taste, ever feel, ever can have this assurance that they belong to that faithful Savior and belong to the faithful God, the Father? It's by the Holy Spirit. And so we come to our last thought. Only true comfort in life and death consists in belonging to that faithful Savior, being kept by God the Father, but also by being assured by the Holy Spirit. Congregation, the work of salvation of God the Father is absolutely essential and beautiful and precious. The work of Jesus Christ is absolutely essential, beautiful. But also the work of the Holy Spirit. We need all three. And may you learn that prayer. May all three be for me. And may you experience that all three are for you. That's the comfort. It's not knowing it. It's experiencing it in your heart, in your soul, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Without all three, we are completely lost. But that blessed work of the Holy Spirit, what does he do? How does he begin? He renews. John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. He gives life, and a dead sinner, they're made alive. But that Holy Spirit also makes willing. He quickens and renews that will. Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Have you been quickened? Have you become willing in the day of his power? But the Holy Spirit also seals. He assures sinners of God's love, of the love of the Good Shepherd in their hearts. Listen to a text that Paul wrote in Ephesians. There's a precious order. Ephesians 1 verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you see the order? First there's the hearing. Then by the hearing, there's the believing. And then comes the sealing. Always remember that order, congregation. The Holy Spirit can't seal something that we do not know, that we do not feel, that we do not believe. There's an order. God is a God of order. What is your only comfort in life and in death? The author of the Catechism knows that he personally, by the renewing work of the Holy Spirit in his life, belongs to the faithful Savior, my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, and that he's kept by God the Father, his Father, and that he's assured by the work of the Holy Spirit, and therefore he answers. By his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. What does the Holy Spirit assure of eternal life? What's eternal life? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say in John 17? And this is eternal life, to know God and to know Jesus Christ. It's to know both, to know God and Jesus Christ. By nature, we deserve no comfort at all, but only wrath. Tonight, I've said a few words about this comfort. Oh, there's so much more. A few words. My friend, what do you long for? Are you still trying to find comfort in this world, in life, things of this earth? Are you still trying to find comfort in yourself, in your experiences? No, don't throw them away. Don't throw those experiences away, but don't make them your foundation of comfort. Comfort is outside of self. It's in that triune God, in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes willing. How may we know if we belong? How may we know if we belong to the faithful Savior, to the Almighty God? The Holy Spirit makes willing. Willing to what? To live holy. I believe it was John Flavel. He said, the greatest assurance of having true saving faith is a desire in the heart of holiness. Have you become willing in the day of his power? And do you long to be holy? Robert Murray McShane said and prayed, Lord, make me as holy as a sinner can be. Can you say that? Is that your will? Is his word what you love to read? Has it become food for your soul? My friend, your only comfort in this life already and in death and eternal is to belong unto that faithful Savior who has blood, who is paid, satisfied the justice of God, and who can wash you and cleanse you from all your sin. And it's being kept by God the Father and being assured by the Holy Spirit, worked in you, renewed, and made willing to live a life of holiness. Can you think of a greater comfort? What's in your heart right now? May I ask you? You don't have to answer me, but what's in your heart? What's your longing, congregation? Is it this? Is it what you heard tonight? Oh, that I might know that I belong. There's poor beggars, and they've seen something, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. That's a blessing. That's a blessing, congregation. But to know, those poor beggars, they want to know. They live a longing. Is he my Savior? Is that you? Is that your longing? Oh, if I may just say with a heart and with peace before the Lord, with confidence in my heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's mine. He's mine. I belong to him. I belong to that faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has paid for my sins with his blood. That I belong to that faithful, almighty Father who can keep me. Seek it in him. Keep seeking. Have no rest until you may rest under his wings. And that you may know, because by the power of the Holy Spirit, children of God, seek to live in holiness. Unholiness, worldliness destroys that only comfort. Seek to live close to that shepherd. Seek to live in the word, in prayer, on your knees, close to him, day by day, fight against sin. And God promises, as we read in Psalm 50, verse 23, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Or you could say, he that lives aright. Thomas Brooks says, though no man merits assurance by his obedience, yet God usually crowns obedience with assurance. May we ask, may we seek, may we long for assurance, children of God. May we? Yes, we may. Why? Because it's for the glory of God. Because when a sinner is assured of that love, what happens in that heart? Then they long to live for his glory. So we may ask it, not for self, but we may ask it for him, for his honor, for his glory. Live in holiness. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, because Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Seek, congregation, seek this only comfort in a triune God, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And to taste a little something of this is a little foretaste of heaven. Because in heaven, then you will live forever in the fullness of this precious, glorious comfort of being in his presence, uninterrupted communion, and living, looking him at him, seeing him with your own eye, face to face, to see that precious Savior that bought you. What will be the outcome? Then you will take that crown and cast it as his feet. Congregation, may the Lord keep us and guide us in the coming week, and may we meet again at his time and in his will. But seek this only comfort. Amen. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, bless thy word richly by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners who are only seeking comfort in this world die to everything, become guilty and lost, and may begin to be seekers of the only true comfort. But remember also all those who by thy grace are seeking that only comfort. O wilt thou draw them to thyself, and that by thy Spirit, upon the merits of thy dear Son, by his blood and righteousness, that they may know of the love of God in their hearts, and that they may live in that joy to thy glory. Lord, keep us in this coming week and weeks. Help the elders the next Lord's Day to lead the services and richly bless thy word. Keep us all, Lord, from an unprepared death, and prepare us to meet thee. Forgive us of all our many sins, preaching and in listening, blotted out in that precious, all-atoning blood, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing now, in closing, Psalter 71, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. Who shall my soul affright or cause my heart to fear? Well, God my strength, my life sustains, secure from fear, my soul remains. Psalter 71, 1, 2, and 5. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.